Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all the campuses. Come on, everybody, give it up for a big, incredible day. And that creative, wow. I'm so impressed with every church in St. Louis and Florida, RPC, to have that level live at every campus again. Mind blown. And we're so glad. It's been 4 weeks where we've been celebrating Black History Month. And, you know, not a lot of churches do it that way, but I believe it should be celebrated and we should do it every week because it's a really big deal. Relationships. Relationships. First of all, number one, this was the last week for relationships until we got so many complaints from people saying, wait a minute, please, no, don't. You haven't fixed us yet. So we're going to do one more week. So give it up for the team doing one more week, a bonus session. And if you haven't, if you haven't watched, you know, you missed some of them, go back on the app, the Faith Church app, and go watch week one with Pastor Chris Hodges on how to resolve conflict, because if you're in a relationship, you're going to have conflict. And then week two, of course, to me, and then today, three, it's going to be good. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about manipulation in relationships. Have you ever been manipulated? Raise your hand if you've been manipulated. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming that you are a manipulator, okay? So manipulation, it's just something that happens, and sometimes manipulation happens to us more, we're prone to it more if we didn't have good, if we had not really, I don't know, some daddy issues and mommy issues. In other words, we were wanting the attention of the parent so much that we're willing to seek the approval of the parent, and that leaves us down a path of people pleasing instead of identifying what you really want out of life, okay? So first of all, at every campus today, I see a lot of y'all. I mean, I'm older, I'm 53, so I see some of you young kids. I look at you and go, man, make sure you marry the right person. And then make sure you are the right person for the person, because sometimes your flesh gets in the way, and I get it. You're like, oh my gosh, he got six-pack abs, and you just can't see past that. So you have him put his shirt on. Come on, somebody. Put your shirt on and make some decisions. Oh, he's got such a nice car. He FaceTimes me all the time. Come to find out it wasn't his car. It's a loaner. And actually, the FaceTime is on a family plan with his ex. Come on, somebody. You got to ask questions. Oh, I'm preaching today right now. So our first scripture is in Galatians 1, verse 10. They'll put it on the screen at all the campuses. It says, for I am now seeking the approval of man or God. Approval of man really sets you up for manipulation. And we all want to be approved by other people, but first of all, you're not seeking the approval of God. That's why we go to church and we hear the word, come to find out we're not only approved by God, we are so loved by God that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. So every day we should wake up saying, hey, yeah, I know I want this position, or I know I want this person, or I know I want to go here with my career, but the fact is I can, because the greater one is living and abiding on the inside of me, and he's leading me and directing me in where I should go. But I want to pause here and say, it's so important that you marry the right person. I thought long and hard about the sermon because I was like, man, a lot of people at our church are already married. Then I thought, man, there's still a lot of single people, and this is your opportunity for a good-looking guy or girl to maybe scope you out. So all my single people in the house, raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Put your hand up. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it, right? So there's that. But I thought about people who have kids growing up, and they need their kids to hear this message. And so it's very, very important that you listen to what I'm saying today about manipulation. First of all, it starts out very little. I wanna show you a video of my grandson for two reasons. One, he's the cutest dude in the world, and I look for excuses to use it. Two, you'll see him manipulate me, and then me manipulate him. Watch this video, this is real life.
When he's not feeling great, he puts his head down and slumps his shoulders over. Hey, what's the matter, buddy? You feeling down? You feeling down today? You don't feel great? Are you teething? Yeah? What's the matter? Yeah, kick that ball. Hey. Oh, no. Come here. What's the matter? Watch me, I'll leave. All right, I gotta go. I'll see you soon, buddy. What? You want me to leave? You want me to stay with you?
Yeah.
Give me a kiss.
Come on, y'all see a lot of manipulation there? Come on, raise your hand if you see it. He's like, you know, down, down. Nobody taught him this. The body language, I'm down. I want attention. Some girls do this. I'm just down. I want attention. Guys do it too. I'm down. Need attention. Kick the ball. I'm angry. I walk away and try to get you to chase me. Then I flip the script and I manipulate him. How many of y'all saw that? And I said, okay, I'm leaving. It got the response that I wanted. And then I manipulated a kiss out of him. It was phenomenal. It was like master manipulation right there. But if we're not careful, what the Bible said, let's put it on the screen, 1 Corinthians 13, it says this. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but now I became a man and I put away childish things. So it's childish behavior to be a 50-year-old man and go, I'm just mad today. I'm just depressed today. Sometimes you need to communicate. We talked about that in week 1 and 2. Go back on the app and communicate. Hey, just so you know, I'm in a bad mood today. And so any behavior that is not becoming of Christ or myself, I'm in a bad mood. Let's work on this together. How many of you know that helps rather than walk around, I'm depressed, I'm mad. By the way, St. Louis, Florida's still here. They just don't like this part. So let's talk about narcissism for a second. I looked it up and put it on the screen for you. Narcissism is a self-centered personality style characterized as having excessive preoccupation with oneself, one's own needs, at the expense of others. Okay. Narcissistic. So I see this all the time at church, you know, where somebody comes up to me and they tell me the story. Basically, you're on the way. I'm going to describe to you the narcissistic relationship. It feels so great to be loved. I just love everything about this guy. I mean, he FaceTimes me all the time. We're on the phone all the time. I mean, he's not nervous of who I am and what I want to be. He supports my career. And he just talks to me 24 hours a day. And then all of a sudden, it flipped though. And now he's starting to get angry, and now he's actually trying to control me, and now he's even accused me of cheating, and then all of a sudden now I freak out, and then he love bombs me again, and then continues this cycle of behavior trying to control me. Narcissism, right? So it feels good to want people to love you. It's like, how many of y'all just settle for a high like, okay? All right, so, but narcissism is crazy, and really it's a form of the flesh, and if it's not controlled, then it will control you. Yeah. Now, first of all, I want you in a relationship. I love you, Earth City, Ferguson, Florissant, Sunset, Weldon, RPC, all y'all. And I walk around the room, like this last weekend, I walked because I preached Saturday night, and my team told me it was really good, don't screw it up, just play that. So I just went around, and I was at Earth City right now where you all are at in Earth City on the back wall, looking at thousands of people and watching you guys respond and laugh, watching you guys talk to each other, pass love notes. I don't know what all you guys are doing, but I was watching. And I watched, and I was so proud because there were so many young students and obviously single people at Earth City did the same thing at Ferguson, that I felt the responsibility to tell you to make sure, yes, you're looking for your other half, that person that completes you, but you have to go into this thing completed and of yourself so that you understand who you are and what you have to offer. So let me talk to you as a dad. The first date is basically a job interview for the person. So you're not just like, oh, I hope he likes me. I hope he takes me to Denny's and gets me a grand slam. I hope we go out for ice cream. Oh, I hope we live together. I'm already planning my wedding. No, you're looking at this joker going, how do I know? Because I know these six-pack abs are going to go away. I just know it. I've looked at male pattern baldness. I've looked at male pattern. It's a get chest or drawers disease. That's where the chest goes to the drawers. I can see through this. So I've thought this all the way down. Go with me, ladies. Yo, mature ladies, give me an amen up in here. You're like, my man had abs and hair. Now he has hair on his back. He's still got abs, but they got a big protective coating over there. So you've got to interview this person because this is wisdom. So if you just jump in it thinking, oh, I've got a man, you've got to have a good man, a right man, and a man that wants to work, and a man that wants to go to church. Because if he doesn't love God, he can't love you. Drop the mic. Preach, preacher. Just sit. He doesn't love God. Now, here's the good part. When I was growing up, we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have any of that stuff, okay? So it was really awesome because all the dumb stuff I did, y'all don't know about it. But all the stuff you youngins are doing, you're stuck with this forever. So when you make the public announcement that you're with Bill, and then Bill turns out to be a pill, then Bill is with you your whole life in that Instagram. So Instagram, here's the good part about it. It's incredible while you're interviewing a person to find out really who they are. Because if every picture is, here's me. Here's another picture of me. Here's a picture of me. Here's a picture of me. It's all about me. That person can't love you. They're too in love with themselves. So just know that the people at our church, our girls are gonna get smart. Our guys are gonna get smart. And they're gonna interview you based on the stuff that I just told you. So you might wanna clean it up every once in a while and post a picture of you and a dog, or you and a kind person, or you helping a blind guy across the street. Somebody ought to help me. Be smart about this a little bit, because we need to know that you're actually not self-centered and a narcissist. We want a woman of God, a man of God, because relationships are hard. They're awesome, but they're hard. A lot of marriage people are going, oh yes, it's hard. Okay, let's talk about the four phases of manipulating. Number one, flattery. You look so good. You're so awesome. Flatter, 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 flatter. I love you. Number two, here we go. Next one is isolation. Hey, do we really have to be around your friends all the time? Do we really have to be around your parents all the time? Because now they're gonna start flipping the script and they're gonna start manipulating you. And if you're around sound judgment, you're around a small group, you're around some older ladies that say, I saw this four times before with some of my friends. And when they isolate you, there's a couple reasons why. Number one, there could be some bad behavior that they want to get you involved in. But the main thing that happens with narcissistic people is they wanna isolate you so they can control you. And we don't want anybody controlling you except the Holy Spirit and good, sound, biblical wisdom. Oh, I'm preaching today. Come on, Earth City. Somebody ought to shout amen at sunset. Okay. Number three is they start devaluating you and gaslighting. If you're on FaceTime, I love him. He's just so awesome. He held my hand at McDonald's in the line. He asked me if I wanted to supersize it. Oh! Okay. He got me the half moon necklace and he gave me the other half moon. He might have 12 moons. We don't know how many of these moons he's sharing with other people. Come on, y'all see what I'm saying right now? So they're all about you and they flatter you, flatter you, flatter you. Then they isolate you. Then they start devaluating you. Why are you so stupid? Again, I said it in the video earlier, the way they treat their mom and dad, the way they treat a waiter, that's just the way that people are going to be. So it needs to be a real flag when they're like, bruh, 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 and they go nuts on something. You need to go, hey, I gotta make a call. And then you just, I don't even care. Have you ever faked a call? I don't even know where I'm going here. Anybody ever been on a fake call? You've been at the mall, you saw somebody you didn't want to talk to. Come on, raise your hand. And you're just like, oh yeah. And then all of a sudden you hate it because your phone rings. You're like, make sure your ringer is off if you're faking a call. Okay. Don't ask me how I know this, okay. So they value you and then they gaslight. It's like, what's up with that? Because they're trying to make you feel stupid and insignificant again so they can control you. Now, there's obviously a give and take in a relationship and people need to talk about difficult conversations, but when it's always about you and now you're trying to change to actually be the person that they want you to be, then know you're the person that they were originally attracted to. So you're a God-fearing person. You love your parents. You go to Six Flags with your parents, even though your dad wears the socks all the way to here, shorts to here, and has a tan line right here. Come on. It's still mom and dad. It's still church. It's still Jesus. It's still God. It's still, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Because number four, let's put it up. Number four leads to fear and violence. So now you're afraid to get out of the relationship. The very one you're wanting to get into, at some point you could say, oh my gosh, I need to get a restraining order against this guy. Because the enemy comes to do what? John 10:10. Oh, that sounds good. Every campus, I can hear you. What do you say? He came to do what? So I've actually watched people commit suicide because they would rather die than be in that relationship. And I wanna totally tell you, I'm for people staying together. The Bible says what God joined together, let no man pull asunder. But maybe God didn't join this together. Maybe you and matchmaker.com. Come on, somebody might have swiped when they should have been flipping the pages of the Bible. That's all I'm saying right now. I'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here next week. Okay. Okay, now I want to tell you a story, a true story. This is where wisdom comes in, the life application. By the way, this is what Jesus did. He talked in parables, you know? So he'd say, hey, he talked to this fisherman, he talked about fish, he talked to farmers, he talked about farming. Talking to you guys, we're talking about relationship issues because you got them, your mom and daddy had them. And so you've monitored what your mom and dad did throughout life, and maybe they've been married for 30 years, but just because you've been married for 30 or 40 years doesn't mean you know how to do it. It just means that somebody was either afraid to leave or too stupid to leave, or maybe they get along. But I'm telling you that what we want to do is frame our life not upon people, but we need to frame it on what the Bible said that a man and a woman's relationship should look like, a godly relationship, and that happens at church. That's why we came to church today. How many of y'all glad you came to church today? All campuses, raise your hand. So when I was born 1 month before my cousin, okay? My female cousin, Tammy. So Tammy was 1 month apart. Now, my dad, how many of y'all know for sure, if you've been here for a while, and it's important that you vote with me on this because I don't want new people, a lot of new people at all of our churches today. I don't want them to think I'm demasculating my dad. I don't love my dad. I adored my dad. How many of y'all think it was like even overboard, like he talks about his dad a little too much? Raise your hand. Okay, so I love my dad. But my dad had some tendencies to be a manipulator, and part of that was based on he was afraid that I was gonna leave or he was gonna lose, so therefore even my first marriage, I was married for 8 years, I got married when I was 18 when I knew everything about life. I wish I could go back and interview that guy because he knew a lot. I got questions now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I got married, and then I got, after 8 years of marriage, got divorced. I don't know if you know about the divorce Barbie, but it comes with all Ken's stuff, you know? So I'm broke, I'm out of love, disappointed, and now part of that, 100%, a lot of that is my fault and her fault. But I can't say that a lot of that actually didn't stem from my dad. Number one, I was trying to have my dad's marriage, which was way different than this girl would be. Okay, because the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, so you need to figure this thing out and find out, did you marry a person like your mom? Would she respond that way? Am I making sense to anybody right now? Like Nicole's not, my dad would be like, shut up, Sharon, go make me a bowl of rice. If I said that to Nicole, I'm not even gonna tell you what's gonna happen, but I would wear glasses for a couple of weeks. Okay. So you gotta understand how people treat people and realize that doesn't work. Of course, I never said that. But I do want you to know that my dad had a manipulation problem and so did my cousin Tammy's mom. My dad and his sister, master manipulators. So every time that Tammy would get in a relationship, she would sabotage it. The mom, she's in heaven now. I love my Aunt Ruth. She was awesome. But she would sabotage the relationship every time. And she wouldn't do it right away. She was good at it. She would slash the guy's proverbial tires without Tammy knowing what she was doing. And even as a young person, I would notice it's really weird that there's never a guy good enough for her because the mom wanted to keep Tammy by her and with her all the time. So that'll never work in a relationship. Now, should you love your mom and dad?
Yes.
The answer was yes, come on, somebody. Obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother and the Lord, for this is right. We know all that, but there has to be a time to where you make the decision for you and it's not manipulated by a parent or you'll never have a successful marriage. Do you understand? Now let's talk about manipulative parents for a minute. This is gonna happen to you. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will happen to you most likely unless your parent hears this sermon and they realize I can't run that play because he told them about this play. So you get married. Now you gotta go tell your mom that this Christmas you're actually going with her side of the family. This could happen this way. Okay. Tears, form of manipulation. It's all right, I understand, I'll just be here. I just hope it doesn't drive me back to AA again, I hope I don't. It's okay, you know, your dad left me, and they left me, and you're leaving me, and that's okay. I'll be here, I think. Anybody ever seen or heard tell of such behavior? This is manipulation. So you have to make sure that you're loving people and you're caring for people, but you've got to move on with your life. And again, I don't want to get this narrative wrong to where you think, I did it my way. I do what I want to do, and that's just it. No, it's all biblically based out of 1 Corinthians 13, okay? Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 13. Write it down, read it later. It said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is tenderhearted. So mom is really upset right now. We got to let mom cry it out, and then we still have to go. Because if you back up and you go, hey, guess what? Becky, I can't go. Mom won't let me. You're never having sex again. I didn't want to say it, but I just wanted to. I didn't know what to say there, and I felt like. He said that? Your kids are supposed to go, if faith kids, if you didn't do that, that joker manipulated you, and that's not my problem. You're being controlled by a three-year-old, okay? Not my problem. Wow. And if you're a visitor, I don't always talk this way. Yes, I do. So I figured out a video. There's a kid at our church this week, and a little girl. They were at church last night, and she, the dad, Ryan, who's a good friend of mine, he's at church every service, great people. He took his little youngest daughter on a roller coaster ride this week. And the video went viral this week, and it got 3 million views just this week, just crazy. So when I saw the video, I told Ryan, I texted Ryan, I said, send me the original quality of this because I want to show people this because your child has summed up what a marriage relationship looks like, okay? So here it is in 30 seconds. This sums up what it's going to be like.
Here we go. Miles and miles for your nice warm bed.
Does that say it all or what? Come on, raise your hand. I'm done. I walk away. You figure it out. Let's go to Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Check this out. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot. Verse 4. After it happened that he loved a woman in the valley named Delilah, valley girl. She went and tried to entice him and to find out where his great strength lies. Notice we got manipulative behavior here. There's an agenda. By what means we might overpower him, may bind him. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me what your great strength is. Where does it lie? Then verse 10, it says this. Then Delilah said to Samson, because she keeps asking, he keeps tricking her. Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you've mocked me. There comes the tears. You keep telling me lies. Please tell me the truth. Then he plays some more with her, verse 15, for the sake of time. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart's really not with me? You just keep mocking me and you just keep tricking me. She's manipulating him. So he goes in and tells the truth. He says, for a razor has never touched my head. This is verse 17. I'm a Nazarite. I was raised in church. I went to faith church. Pastor told me what to do, but I'm out here playing with the wrong girls. And when Delilah had saw that he had told her all his heart, she called on her cell phone immediately and called the people and said, get over here. We found it out. And they brought her the money, the end of verse 18. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for them to shave his head. See, sometimes what you don't realize is the enemy is setting you up in sleeplessness. Now, in the Bible, theology-wise, sleeplessness usually means two things. Number one, it means that, not in this order, but people are dead. They're sleeping in the Bible. And then number two, sleeplessness is a form of no prayer. So what he did is he went away from the basis of his teaching, what he learned in Growth Track, what he learned from the pulpit, what he learned from his parents, and he allowed her to isolate him alone, and then her vindictive, manipulative behavior took from him what was his gift, which was his anointing. This gift wasn't just his hair. And I remember Fabio. Anybody remember Fabio? Raise your hand. Fabio. I remember this guy. I think they got a picture of Fabio. Samson looked like Fabio. I know they got a picture of Fabio. I just know they do. I know. There they are. Okay, so Fabio. Let's take the scripture. It seems sacrilegious. Let's take the scripture off of Fabio's head. So there's Fabio, but I make fun of Fabio all you want. He's a good friend. So Fabio, he looks the part. He's really sexy, but he's actually very, very sane. He's super smart. When Ashton was growing up little out in California, he would talk to her about maybe before the Kardashians were really the Kardashians. Ashton, here's why the Kardashians are crazy. Here's why you can't be with the Kardashians. Here's why you can't. And he was telling her sane things, even though he had great hair and great abs, and I haven't got the girls back. You're still going. But my whole point in telling you this is where Samson was. He looked the part, and you have to be careful sometimes because pride can creep in and you get to basing your decisions off of your looks and off of their looks. And you need to go it not from the look, but from the book, which is the Bible that's going to keep you on the straight and narrow so you find the right person. Somebody shout amen to that. So now he's sleepless. He's sleeping in her lap. And if you keep reading, he says, I'll go out. He wakes up. He says, I'll go out as I did before, as other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know, this is so sad, that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and they put his eyes out. They actually literally poked his eyes out. And now they put him at the grinding wheel where he was 24 hours a day with the mules. Blind, grinding out the meal, because that's what the devil does to you. Sin will always take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. I'm not wanting you not to have fun. I want you to have all the fun in the world. But the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. This is why I hate it when parents tell kids, you know, don't do that, it's not fun. Don't do this, it's not fun. That's a lie. You need to tell kids, sex is fun. It is a lot of fun. It's the most fun we've ever had. In fact, that's the only reason why you're here. It is a great time. But only in the confines of marriage and where God constitutes it, is it right. So it's like always telling kids that sin isn't fun. That means if they go do it and it's fun, they go, my parents must not know how to do it. Come on, who am I talking to today? This is real, okay? So sin is fun, but it's fun for a season. Then you wake up and you've got an issue. Now you have a child that looks like Fabio and now you can't stand Fabio. And you're like, I got a little Fabio the rest of my life. So what we have to do is make sure that we're understanding that the devil wants to lull us to sleep. He wants to lull us. Come on, somebody in Earth City ought to shout amen. Ferguson to me today. St. Louis, stick with me on this. You have to realize that church is not just where we go, it's where we grow. So we come to church, we stay for the whole time, which by the way, as a dad, I want to talk to you about that for a minute. When I was standing at the back of the auditorium last week, I stood in the back, nobody knew it was me, and I was standing there, and when the video announcements played, hundreds and hundreds of people got up and started walking out. Our service is only an hour and 15 minutes, and here's what's gonna happen to you. You're gonna go to heaven someday. How many of y'all wanna go to heaven someday? And then God's gonna play a video. I can't prove this, but this is the way I got a picture. And God's gonna have a picture of you at a movie, and you're watching the credits and see if there was a deleted scene and see if they did the funny dancing thing, and you even had your popcorn and you were walking out, and then you walk back because you didn't want to miss on it. And then you're going to see at church, you got what you wanted from me, and then you bolted. Then sometimes, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm just saying I'm going to put you through it until you stay here for the entire service until the campus pastor says amen. Now, if you got a medical emergency, you got an irritated bowel system, you got to go to work, I understand, but I'm going to ask that question at the back of the church. Can I get an amen? Got that handled real quick. That's a public service announcement. It's like a commercial. It's like when you don't pay for, you know, Spotify, you get the pop-ups. That's what that was. Now, last passage of scripture, one more narcissistic situation. 2 Samuel 14. Verse 25. Now, in all of Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. Look at your neighbor and say, I know how that feels. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish on him. He was perfect. At the end of every year, he cut his hair because it was so heavy. When they cut it, they actually weighed it. It had 200 shekels according to the standard. This was the guy. Verse 5, chapter 15. After it happened that Absalom had provided himself chariots and horses and 50 men, now Absalom would rise early and stand at the gate. And whenever people came for a lawsuit to see the king, King David, his dad, Absalom would actually call him over to himself. Notice he brings him to himself in a narcissistic way. And he would say in verse 3, Absalom would say, hey, look, your case looks good to me. Wish the king would hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were the judge of this land. I would treat you different. And anybody who came with a suit, I'd make sure justice happened. But the fact is, you know, so you guys voted this guy in. He's a problem, but I am your guy. Verse 6, in this manner, Absalom acted towards all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom illegitimately stole the hearts of the people. Now, let me tell you the story real quick. King David has a son, Absalom. He's got some bad behavior. There's some problems. There's a time and a period for a couple years. They don't see each other. The relationship is somewhat restored, but not totally. And then he allows Absalom. He knows Absalom's vain. He knows he's an egomaniac. He's getting his hair weighed. He's great. Then, now he lets him back into the kingdom. But in that narcissistic way, he goes there and he sets himself up to actually try to devalue leadership. Always know that when you're with the wrong person, they will always speak against other people. And then you need to ask this question. You need to find out about their past, okay? Their exes. Because if all seven of their exes were bad, you're next. You're just part of their drama. You're in the next episode of bad people. They can't all be bad. Somebody ought to go with me. I swear, Florida's still here. I swear. Okay. If they're all bad, the person might be bad, or they always overreact to a situation. So you almost got to go talk to a few. If it's only one or two, maybe not a big deal. But if it's seven out of seven, somebody needs to get on Facebook and interview those past girls to find out if this is a narcissistic man or woman that goes crazy. By the way, back to the original point at the beginning, Austin said it best. It is my theory. You can't marry somebody after 30 days. You don't know them. You can't marry them after we fell in love. Well, you about to fall out of love? Okay. This person could be so crazy. You could be hid in the car while they helped look for you. Okay? This is what narcissistic, mean, ungodly people do. So I'm just saying, enter it with caution. Make sure your flesh doesn't get out of control. You need to date somebody for 12 months because after 12 months, you've seen them winter, spring, summer, or fall. If they forget their medicine and they go crazy, you're like, whoa, what was that about? Ah! Okay. I'm almost done. He stole the hearts of the people. Now, check this out. Let's jump to 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom was out riding his mule. He went under a thick tree branch. He got his hair caught in it, and he hung there, and he died. It's basically also why you want to marry a bald-headed man. Can I get an amen for this one? He's got his thick Fabio hair is flowing. He's in pride. He's tried to kill the king. He's diminished God. He's in disobedience. He's a mess. And then now the very thing that he prided himself on has now hung him. And now he dies there in that tree. The wages of sin, you said it earlier. What was that again? It's death. So we've got to make sure that we are, number one, not in pride. We walk in humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Number one. Number two, we can't just run into a relationship without really interviewing that person for a long time. Talking to single people right now. A lot of married people nodding their head. Hopefully not because you should have dated longer. But let's end with that. If you are a person who, and I asked earlier, have you ever been manipulated? Let's try that again. I forgot. How many have been manipulated? But here's the bigger question. Have you ever manipulated? Yeah. When I bow up and I get mad, she gets scared. When I cry, he comes home and vacuums the house and brings me flowers. So when we respond to this manipulation, instead of just talking through it, and that's what we've been doing in this relationship series, is learning to communicate and use your words. My grandson, again, today, he looked at us, he did something, and he wanted to go outside, but we didn't know what he wanted. He just said, and his mother said, Liam, use your words. Because she doesn't want him to have anger issues and be aggravated. Use your, what is it you want? When you're trying to get an adult's attention, here's what she said you say to him. Excuse me, Papa, I want your attention. He said, excuse me, Papa, I want your attention. I thought, I still don't have time to go outside and play. I gotta go to work. But she's teaching him to communicate. So you need to learn, if you are married, learn to communicate. Say you've been married 10 years, have a conversation today. Have a conversation when the time's right and say, hey, and start the conversation with like, hey, Pastor David was saying something today that I thought was really be beneficial for you to behave and for you to employ. And there was a lot that I saw today that I was like, Bob, this is a word for you. Shabba. That's your word. That's not wisdom. Raise your hand if you know that's not wisdom. Come on, every campus says this. What we need to do, the better way is to say, hey, you know what I was thinking? There were some things that Pastor David said today that I could really improve on. Right now you're probably going, crap, but what are those? What are those? Go back to the app, find yourself some notes of things that you could improve on. And then say, you know, it's gonna work on me. That's not where you say, here's two things about me, and then, by the way, I have your list. Here, we're not trying to fix him. We're not trying to fix her. If you're like me, I got plenty of fixing to do on me, and so I gotta watch my tone. I'm a communicator. I was thinking this week, Nicole and I got in a 10th time of fellowship again this week. Just for a couple minutes. And I was laughing at the end of it in my own. I walked away because I was kind of aggravated with her for a second. I'm sure she was aggravated for a second. And I was thinking about it and I thought, and then I just started laughing. I said, it's so hilarious that we actually love each other so much and get along so well since we are both massive verbal communicators. We communicate. You put a cereal box in my hand right now and I can preach from a cereal box. She can do the same thing. So we could actually take an argument, actually throw 15 Bible verses in it within 20 seconds and kill you with the word of God. And so the fact that we can actually communicate as communicators is a good thing. But maybe you're in a relationship where my father-in-law, he just doesn't speak much. He grunts. I'm almost done. My mother-in-law... No offense, she talks enough for both of them, I'm just saying. But she communicates, right? But then Bob, he's just real quiet. I say, hey, Rob, what do you think? Did you enjoy it? We were in New York and we saw a bunch of stuff. And I said, did you like that? And he goes, yeah, that's right. But I'm not even offended by it because I know that's right to him. That's right means, to me, oh my God, it was unbelievable. It blew my mind. Freaked me out. That's what I do. He's like, yeah, that's good. Stand with me, it'll encourage me to shut up. Now remember, stand with me does not mean leave. We have locked the door. I'll find out your plate number, watch you on the way out. You'll wonder why your tires are flat in the morning. No. Anyway, here's a couple questions before we go. How many of y'all have benefited and are excited about one more week of this? Raise your hand. You benefited, excited, more. I just want to know. How many of y'all wish that you would have known a lot of this stuff years ago? How many of you are glad that everyone is hearing the word of God that they can apply to their life on Monday, on Sunday? Right? Okay, so church is real and relevant. And God wants to heal marriages. I want Nicole to come with me, and I want this to be a moment of prayer for all of you that are like, man, I'm single and I want to make sure I'm with the right person. I heard a whoop whoop. Okay. We almost need cameras for every campus so we can be like, which campus do you go to? Oh, I like the one in the third row at the 8th campus. Okay. I guess that's a dating service, but it is something. We could get more views on our app if we did that. I'm just saying. But on that note, know that God will bring the right person to you when you're ready. Right. If you get in the flesh and you try to add it to yourself, it's probably not gonna work out well. What if Nicole would have married that guy that was chasing tennis balls and basketballs? I can't catch a ball to save my life. But you've got the right person,
you got the right one,
that's coming to you at the right time. And so whether you're marriage is struggling. And by the way, that happens in times. You have dark times in a marriage. Doesn't mean you need to start over. You know what he is and you know what she is. And let's work through this thing together. Church, growth track, all these things matter. Going to church every week. Sunset, listen to me. When you get there, I mean, we're live right now in Florida on this Sunday. What's today's date? 26th, okay. So it's not, this isn't a video. We're live right now on Sunday morning to all these campuses through technology. And I pray that when Nicole prays this prayer, I just know it by the Holy Spirit. It's gonna heal marriages and it's gonna make you okay with being single. You can be alone, but not lonely. And God can work what he wants to work. So nobody moving around, just allow God to minister as Nicole prays.
Father God, I just pray over people right now. I pray in Ephesians that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened.
Yes, Lord.
We can see what we could not see. And the Holy Spirit of God rises up on the inside of me. And he said, this time of loneliness you've been complaining about, it's like the Israelites in the wilderness. There is manna. There is sustenance. God says, haven't I provided for you? And he said, you complain about the loneliness, but the loneliness is my grace. Because the thing that would have been in the space of my grace would have been someone who would have used you and abused you and left you hurt and left you broken and left you on the ground. But instead, the Lord says, I've saved you from that.
Yes.
Trust this time of, you call it loneliness. The Lord says, I call it readiness. New season, he says. New season, he says. Be ready to step up and step in and know this. I don't think the way you think, and I don't see the way you see. The person you see is perfect. I see is the distraction from the call of God on your life. The person I see is perfect. You don't see them as perfect yet.
Yeah.
So God, give us the eyes of understanding, the eyes of wisdom, the eyes to not just see in the natural, but to see in the supernatural so we can step up and step into all that you have called us to. And right now I pause and I pray for marriages.
Yeah.
Some people, all we can see is hurt. All we can see is what has been said, what has been done. And the words that go to bubble out of your mouth are, but you don't know. I just feel God impressing on my heart again. This doesn't happen all the time. God says, I do know. And I know that love conquers all. I know that forgiveness is a salve. And I know that I am the God of heaven and earth, and I could soften even Pharaoh's heart. I can do that in your marriage and in your relationship. God says, love them unconditionally. Forgive them of big debts. And believe it or not, he says, they're having to do some of that with you too. God said, I am the mender of the unmendable, and I can strengthen broken bonds. And not fix them, but make them whole again. Father God, we thank you for your presence and your leading and your guidance. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God revealing and touching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Come on, give the Lord a great big hand today. Did that bless you today?